history with the podcast guy, Matt King.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Unfortunately, for some, our topics that we talk about may be offensive to some people.
The topics that we discuss could also be triggers, and we want you to be aware of that.
If you are in need of help, please talk to a professional, a family member,
or a friend. We are not medical professionals, and we don't claim to be.
We are just two guys with a microphone
and a platform.
Please listen with discretion.
Welcome to This Time in History, guys. It's Matthew, and we're back with another installment of the 2022 municipal election mini-series. One interview every week right up until the election on October 24th. Guys, also remember to get out and vote. The only way to affect change is to be part of it. And before I get started, I just want to let you guys know that we are partnering with a new not-for-profit called Triumph. Triumph over trauma. I apologize. It's a great not-for-profit that is making free mental health therapy accessible. Guys, check them out. They're on Instagram and they have a GoFundMe. Help out if you can. Share it if you can. Really appreciate any help that can be done. And with me today, he is a former Toronto police officer and he's running for mayor of Toronto, Mr. Blake Acton. Welcome to the show, Blake. Is that okay if I call you Blake?
Great. No problem. Thank you, Matthew.
So, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and then ultimately why you are running, why this election, why now?
Well, I'm running. I'll start off saying as I was a police officer for 30 years with the Toronto Police, and worked in many, many areas of the Toronto Police, and including the downtown core. And you know, I've seen a lot of good, a lot of bad, and I like this city. I've lived here all my life, and you know, I'm a single parent, and I don't want to leave the city because of what's going on. And when I say what's going on, it's going downhill. Anyway, I've been advised by a lot of neighbors have encouraged me to run, a lot of fellow colleagues, and so I want to change the city and I want to make it a better place to live for all of us.
I like the sound of that. And then I don't know if you have your platform developed. Some people don't because, you know, it just started. But anything that you want to share about your platform?
Well, we're just out on the gates. It's still early, but we're creating it still, and it should be in the coming weeks. We'll have something on our website and to put together and give the people and the city of Toronto an idea of what we're up against. But you know, the big problems, as we all know, is the crime is just it's out of control. It's there's so many different things with the carjackings and you know, then we touch on different areas like the crime, the bike lanes, the homelessness, the parks, the roads, the potholes, you name it. It's going downhill. We can't have it.
Yes, I like the sound of that. So I've got a few, I talked to you off air. I don't really have questions. I have more topics. So, if it's okay with you, we're gonna hit a few topics.
Sure.
So as far as the budget goes, I know there's a lot of concerns. I've heard it from people from constituents like myself, and also from people running. You know, the city is bleeding money. Any thoughts as to what might be causing this and what you might do differently if you win the mayor's chair?
Well, again, a lot of it I don't think is common knowledge to the public, or if it is, it's not very accessible. So I'm getting, after one article in The Sun with my information about running, I've been contacted by a lot of people, and I'm advised that there is so much money going out the window at City Hall into areas of temporary shelters and just funding for for things that people coming in from all apparently all over Canada. Toronto's just it's a big paycheck. You just come in and you'll get all kinds of funding, and they're encouraging people. Apparently, now this is what I'm hearing, is that they're encouraging people to come to Toronto. If you're homeless, we welcome you with open arms. So I think a lot of money is going out the window that shouldn't be going out. And then the shelters downtown and in the Midtown, apparently, again, there's been a lot of damage and millions of dollars have been lost and had to be paid out for damages in these temporary shelters. So, I mean, I don't think they have the right method. Well, I know they don't. They don't have the right method of how to deal with this situation. And we need to spend money. The city needs to spend money. The mayor needs to direct the money in a direction so that it'll help the city, not just put a Band-Aid on it. Because right now we've got that Band-Aid, and you know, when you look at the last 8 years, it's just like a stock going down. And I say that to people because it's just I've had more phone calls and emails of people saying, you know, we can't take another 4 years of this. We've been through so much with the pandemic, and you know, we want to get out and enjoy the city. And you know, there's just multiple issues in the city: carjacking, car thefts, robberies, muggings. We're having issues in every. You can't go to a park. I mentioned this. I don't know if I've mentioned it to you before, but you know, you go through a park at Allen Gardens, there's tents in there, there's needles on the ground, there's you know, human feces on the ground. I'm a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer, whoever's a taxpayer, I want to be able to utilize the park without you know, the worry of stepping on a needle or it's just it's not good. So we have to help the homeless, but we have to also realize that we can't give the city away to the homeless either. We have to come up with a strategic way so that we can give them a more meaningful life, and give the taxpayers a better quality of life as well with the proper way to spend money and to utilize that money.
That's well put, and I agree with what you're saying. Switching gears, transit. Transit's a big issue. It's been talked about for the last 10 years. And really, if you think about it, that's part of the problem. They've been talking and talking and talking and talking instead of putting the shovels in the ground.
Well, so with the transits, the TTC, for example, all my life I've lived here, and you know, the TTC's always been dusty and dirty and you know, you talk to anybody and they say, oh God, it's always broken down. It's always up for repairs. There's always something. So, you know, a lot of people, when they say TTC, they say take the car, not the Toronto Transit system. So, you know, a lot of people, they're just not happy with the way the TTC is the way it's kept clean, the way it's breaking down. And now with the recent issue of the people being pushed onto the tracks, they're talking about possibly putting in those barriers down there. And you know, I'm against that. I'm firmly against that, because it's a lot of money. So you know, we're humans and we have brains, and we've got to understand you don't stand close to the tracks, and you be cognizant of your surroundings. Now, we can also help out by having extra TTC security, police, special constables. There's lots of other methods that could be taken before you go and you spend millions of dollars to put up barriers. I mean, there comes a point where you have to be accountable for yourself as well. So if you're just, you know, you have a your iPods in your ears or what have you, and you're not looking around, well, it's like anything. You could be mugged, you could be robbed, you could be pushed onto the track. So we have to educate people a little more when they're in areas of a possible danger. And when you go down to the tracks and there's trains going down there, you really have to know what's going on. So I think, you know, I would go as far as to saying that there's nothing in your ears and no listening to music. You focus on where you are and where you're going, and once you get to your destination, then feel free. But you know, I've been down in the subways before, and it's just, there's a lot of people that are just carefree, la 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 la, and then they wonder why things happen. So that's my stance.
Okay, and as far as the expansion goes, would you support something like that? Like, for example, we've seen the TTC go into York region. Would you support it going both east and west into Peel region and into Durham region eventually?
Sure. Why not? If it's affordable and we can create it in such a way that it's not going to break the bank, then it can bring people into the city. Then why not? I think it's a good artery to get people in. But having said that, there's a lot of people, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, that I don't know the exact statistics of it, but the last 2 years of COVID, I don't know how often the TTC was used in the different rail systems. So can you imagine the money being lost on that? So we have to think about the future of, really, are we going to have another pandemic? Is there going to be more issues like this? So by putting all this money into this, and people may not be using it, I think it's something we have to speak to the qualified engineers, the individuals that know best. And I'm not one of them that would be able to make that decision, but that's the position and the job of a mayor, is to get the right people to find out how far to go and how much money to spend and to do some forecasting.
Yes. Well, that's the job of a good leader, is knowing when and how to delegate. You're right about that.
I think so. There's no sense in putting a ton of money into things if we can't use them. And you know, I don't have the exact numbers of what the profits or losses of the rail systems, but everybody I speak to, there's a lot of unhappy campers when they have to use the subway systems.
Would you be more supportive of, like, the LRT that's currently being built on both Eglinton and Finch?
I'd have to know a bit more about it. I'm not going to lie and say I know much about it, but I'd have to speak to the right people about it and get some clarification on that.
Okay. Moving gears, I wanted to talk about affordable housing, and you and I talked off air a bit. Exactly what does that mean? How many, how much more space can be created, and whether or not you'd be in favor, or whether it's within the power of the mayor to install either, I'm being told it's called a rent freeze or a rent reduction, and anything you want to say on that topic.
Well, once again, the city, we have to provide, the city has to provide accommodations for people that have limited incomes, and it's human nature that you don't want to provide people with places to stay that are uncomfortable and are filthy. And I'm sure there are a lot of places that are in Toronto that I have been in as a police officer. And you shake your head and you wonder, wow, how are you expecting to help people when they're down and out, or they're just, you know, they're struggling to survive in this world, and they've come from wherever they've come from, and you want to help them move forward. So we have to provide a very, I believe, a safe environment for people trying to get onto their feet, and it's a very delicate situation, but I'm a firm believer also that you don't need a lot of money in order to keep a place clean. So these a lot of the government housing, I think a lot of it has to do, we should really focus on perhaps education and learning to teach people to keep things neat and organized, whether they're inside their suite or outside their suite, and we need more maintenance from the city to keep the grounds safe, so that, you know, when you come home from somewhere and you're living in a government subsidized housing, that it's a nice place to come home to. It doesn't have to be super expensive, but it could be a nice place with, you know, nice trees and a nice lobby and security and right now I don't think that's everywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely it has its pockets within the city. So
we have to create a positive environment for everybody from every income level.
Yes, and. Being a former police officer, as you said, my next topic is the police. We kind of touched on crime a little bit. So I'm being told there's technology that Mayor Tory rejected. Maybe the cost was too high. I'm not exactly sure why, but he rejected it. And you place them on what they would be Toronto housing buildings because the city owns them. And it's some sort of I'm not exactly sure the right word, but it lets you know if there's gunshots in the area. And people said, well, no, you can't do that because it's racist. And it's not about racist, because everybody of every race fires a gun at some point in their life. I firmly believe that. Gun violence has no race in my view.
In your view.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I agree a lot with that statement. And, you know, all through Europe, there's all kinds of cameras all over the place. And I'm a firm believer that I welcome more cameras in the downtown core. I welcome more instruments like what you're saying. Because if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't be fearful. And that's the problem is... We're getting a lot of people that are very vocal that shouldn't be vocal because they're only jeopardizing their own safety. So I think there's a lot of people that think they're very smart when it comes to safety and that a lot of things about crime, but I think they need to walk a day or an evening in the shoes of a police officer in the downtown core, and you'll understand the violence that could spark up at a moment's notice. And you know, the police in our city, they work very hard to keep the citizens safe, and every tool that we can provide them and the citizens safety, then we should do that, because it's necessary. You know, you could go out for dinner somewhere downtown and be having a lovely dinner, and all of a sudden, boom, the shots are fired. And who wants to be in the middle of something like that? And it happens, and it's happened in the past, and there's innocent people that die. So we have to, you know, if I am elected, and I always say if and when, I will work closely with the chief of police and the police services board regarding the carjackings, the car thefts, the violent crimes, the, you know, education in schools. We have to hit the schools hard, and in the sense of with education on trying to get these youngsters away from the crime. And I know I have a teenage son, and I know they all play video. A lot of, you know, these young people play video games, and there's a lot of violence in the world, whereas there wasn't a lot of violence when I was younger. And, you know, I know it sounds old, but I just think that has a lot to do with what's going on in the world and in our city, is that the more violence we see, the more violence we watch, the more it's replicated. And so I think it's important that the schools... get the education that they and the teaching from towards the kids so that they can not grow up to be bandits and criminals. So I think it's a combination of areas, but we definitely have to hire more police. And I was a firm supporter and believer of the carding myself. I know a lot of people said, oh no, you can't, it infringes people's rights and everything, but again, I don't have the numbers, but I'll bet you the ranch that crime was down when the police had the powers to investigate people with in a suspicious activity.
Since we brought up more police, I did think of a couple more questions. If you'll just indulge me for a minute, I know there was a portion of people who feel like Mayor Tory was railroaded, we'll use that word, we'll say railroaded, into taking the community police officers out of the schools. Would you put them back in?
I would put them back in. I put them right back in. And I'm glad you touched on that as well, is that, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I tell everybody this. I have absolutely nothing against Mayor Tory. I'm sure he's trying to do the best job he is. But I'm quite suspicious and quite confident that there's more going on at City Hall, that perhaps he's handcuffed and can't do exactly maybe what he'd like to do. So that would be something on my agenda, is to really look at what's going on down at the big house downtown at City Hall and find out just what's happening down there, and make sure everybody's on the same page, because, you know, everybody's elected, whether you're a city councilor or the mayor or what have you, or in it to make the city a better place, and it cannot be a selfish a vote, or it can't be something where you're just you hurt your pride or what have you. It's for the better of all the citizens in Toronto. So and the people I'm talking to, the people that call me and email me, are saying, you know what, with all the crime that's going on, we're actually thinking of selling our homes, we're not going to rent our apartments anymore, we're going to move out of the city. So what will happen is the economics of the city will go downhill, because people are going to start leaving if this continues. And you're going to have a city that's going to be empty. It'll just be a place where people come to work and then commute far away, and nobody will want to live in the city because they'll be so afraid of the crime and all this nonsense. So we really have to strategically address these issues before it's too late.
And there was one other thing that I was going to ask you about, since you are a former police officer. What is your position on TAVIS? I know it was taken away, the task force, I think, yeah, it was called TAVIS. They were taken away. I think they were deemed it was racist. I don't know why. Personally, I've never encountered them, so I can't speak with any personal knowledge. But I can tell you that I guess even I felt the illusion that it was safer with a task force on hand. And anything that you wanted to add to that?
Well, I mean, TAVIS was, from what I understand, was created in order to combat targeted areas of crime, so that they can basically put out fires quickly without having to spend a lot of resources. I don't know why it was taken off the agenda for the police to do, but I'd argue that the city was a safer place with that. And if we're going to spend money, if the taxpayers are going to spend money, I always say this, if we're going to spend money and you want to live in Toronto and you want to live in a safe place and you want to be able to walk down to a theater to watch a live show, or you want to go and have dinner with your family, you want to feel safe. So we have to combat this crime, and we have to, you know, get over all this racism about crime and racism, that it's targeted to one or two groups or three groups or whatever it may be, because we're not going to solve the problem. And if we continue with everything is a racist issue in order to solve crime. I'm a firm believer of that. Now, having said that, you know, it doesn't matter what profession you're in. There's always a few bad apples. And I'm sure with the Toronto Police or the OPP or any municipal or provincial or federal government, you're going to get people that are employed by the government that really shouldn't be there and somehow slip through the cracks. And it really makes it difficult for the good police officers and the good firemen or whoever it may be that works for the city to build the confidence of the taxpayers. But I can tell you, the 30 years I was a police officer, that there is a lot more good than there is bad, and there's just a few bad apples that can ruin it for the good ones. And we're very lucky in Toronto. We've got a very, very good police force, and it's headed up by a wonderful chief of police. And, the previous one as well, Mark Saunders, excellent chief of police. You know, I've in my 30 years, I've seen a lot of chiefs come and go, and you know, we've been very lucky that we've got Chief Raymer right now, and previously Mark Saunders. So, you know, it starts from the top, and it works down, and you can see that the police are doing everything they can do within their powers, but they need the support from the city. And if I'm elected, I will work closely, very closely, in order to assist the police, in order to stop these gangs, in order to stop the carjackings and the thefts and all the crimes. Because, well, we as a city, the city of Toronto, we want to welcome people from all over the world to come here and visit our city so that they'll spend their money and they'll enjoy themselves and they'll tell others and they'll come back, and it'll just be a wonderful place to live. It'll be a wonderful place to visit. But right now, when you're watching the news, it's one violent crime after another, and it's one issue after another. So there shouldn't be homeless people all over the streets. It's not fair to them. I had a friend a while back. He went with his daughter to a hockey game down at the arena, and he said they were basically almost tripping over people sleeping on sleeping bags on the sidewalk. And his daughter was just terrified because she felt sorry for these people on the sidewalk sleeping in their sleeping bags and dogs on the side. And, you know, it's not a pleasant thing to see. It's not pleasant for the people sleeping on the sidewalk. So we failed. The city has failed. The current administration has failed in leaving these people homeless on the street. There is a better way. And I've been talking to people that are professionals, that are doctors, that are lawyers, that are judges, and there's ways of combating this issue so that the homelessness can be eradicated, and we can give these people that you know, anybody can be homeless at any time, really. Let's be honest here. It doesn't take much if you get a string of bad luck that you could be the same as that, and we all fear that's not something any of us would want in our life. But you know, we have to help them. We have to give them a better, meaningful life, and we have to get them back on their feet. And you know what is that going to do? That's going to help stop crime. It's going to help stop police assistance. It's going to help, you know, lower the ambulance rate, the emergency rooms, everything. It's a rippling effect.
That's well put. And for one of my last topics, I wanted to talk about City Hall specifically. And okay, so it's no secret that I don't wear a political stripe during these interviews. I've said that. But yeah, it's no secret that I grew up, basically watching Rob Ford. You know, say everyone can have their own opinion about his personal life, but his professional life, I think he was a great person. And one of the things that I liked, and I know this specifically because I grew up in Toronto housing. I was a poor kid, And I have no shame in admitting that. But one of the things that I personally like is that he showed up. He shows up. You call him, he answers. And we don't have that right now with the current regime, with Mayor Tory. Sorry if you're listening, Mayor Tory, but yeah, it's true. Will you make yourself...
Well, I would agree with that. You know,
sorry.
If I were to call 311 right now, you know I'm going to either get an answer machine or I'm going to get somebody to say, oh, well, okay, we'll be through. But you're not going to speak to them there. Now, if I'm elected, and when I'm elected, I will answer the phone. I believe that if the taxpayers are going to pay the mayor of Toronto a salary of, we'll say, a couple of $100,000, you can answer the phone. And you can take calls. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that the city faces is, whether it be the councillors or any city staff, answer the phones. When I've called and I've asked for something that I needed a city street sweeper to come by, it's, you get an answer machine, they don't call you back. And no, that would be the first thing, is the answer machines have got to go. And people have to answer the phones. And it's, you know, it's the old, you may have heard this before, but, you know, customer service has gone down the hill. It's just gone down the drain over the years. And I think it's also happened in the city, with the city, the way it works. It's just, there's no customer service anymore. The citizens of Toronto are paying the salaries of the city employees. When I was a police officer, I'm paid by the city. Who pays the city? By the taxpayers. So, you know, you want to please the people that are paying you. So I believe that there's been a lack of that happening. And, you know, it might just be a certain amount of time that we need to re-educate people that are working for the city on where their paychecks are coming from, and how they have to, you know, they should speak to people that are calling in that have issues. So I think it's important that the mayor is hands-on in areas that he can be most helpful in. Now, I had made a note here that, you know, as a taxpayer, forget about even if I was running for office, as a taxpayer, on May the 4th, Mayor Tory was on a fire truck down by the lakeshore, and he was on CP24, and... you know, he's in the cherry picker. He's going to go up and down on the new fire truck that the citizens of Toronto paid for. He didn't need to be doing that. Why would he be down there? Why are we paying our mayor to go up and down and show? It's like a Canada's Wonderland or something. The chief of the fire department could do that. The fireman can do that. He could be making better decisions with his time than to go there. And then on May the 9th, he's rappelling down a building for charity. Well, again, you can sit in your office, you can say, listen, I'll just write a check for the charity. I have to get back to work. But you don't have to scale down buildings and run to every camera that's in front of you and every microphone that's in front of you. You know, I have, again, I'll say, I have nothing against Mayor Tory. I'm sure he's trying his best, but it's unfortunate after 8 years, the proof is in the pudding, the city's getting worse. It's not getting better. So I think he should just look at it and say, you know what? I've tried my best for 8 years. Let's let someone else try it. And Blake Acton is the one who is runner-up, and that's where I want to come in and fix the city and get it back on shape and make it a place where people will not be fearful of walking down the streets.
Well, I can't think of a better way to put a button on this episode, except that I do have one more question. I ask this with all the candidates. You can pass if you like, but I have to ask.
Sure.
Is there anybody running for city councilor or school trustee that you would be comfortable endorsing at this present time?
No, I think I'll pass on that one.
Okay. Don't but worry. A lot of other candidates that I've spoken to have said the same thing. So,
to just add to that, I just want to let people know, whoever's listening right now, is that I've said this from the very beginning. I'm not a politician. I'm a taxpayer, and if people are looking for a politician, then they can, you know, this is the worst thing I'm sure someone can say, but vote for someone else if you're looking for a politician, because I'm not a politician. I'm a taxpayer, and I'm an investor. I've done very well for myself financially, and I want to help the city. I want to stay in the city. I've got multiple properties in the city, and I want to live here with my son. We have a dog. We love this city. So I'm doing this to help the city. And, you know, I don't take on jobs that I can't do. And I know 100%, if elected, I will turn the city around and we'll get it back on track. And everybody will be very happy with living in Toronto. And they'll want me to go for another 4 years, is what I have a feeling. That's how I want to leave it.
That sounds great, and all the best to you. I'll be watching. I watch all the races. Election night is one of my favorite nights of the year, so that's why I'm looking forward to tonight as well.
I'm hoping everybody's going to get out and vote, whether it be for me or for someone else. I just hope people vote, because there's countries that we don't get these opportunities to do, so we really have to take advantage of it, and everybody has to get out and vote and make the city a better place.
Absolutely. It's like I said at the top of the episode, the only way to affect change is to be part of it.
And that's what I want, is change. I think the city is ready for change. We need change. We have to have change, because as of now, it's in my opinion, it's I always say this, it's a stock going down, and we have to have this stock go back up.
Yes. Well,
thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this interview with me. I wish you all the luck as you continue down the campaign path, and I will be paying attention. And I can't wait to see what happens next. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're most welcome.